Once again, this is Jim Rao, and we thank you again for listening today. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, to John, the 14th chapter, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. We're going to go into the nature of the Holy Spirit, and he is part of the mystery of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is part of the mystery of God, and one of the great things, I guess you would say, about the Christian faith is that God, in his infinite wisdom, left with us here on this earth a part of himself to comfort us, to be with us, to be our companion, to be our counselor, to be our advocate. And this Holy Spirit, this part of the triune nature of God, can be yours today, can be yours to be with you, walk with you, sleep with you. Everywhere you go, he will be with you. And it's just one of the beautiful mysteries of the Christian faith. And as far as I know, no other faith has anything, well, I know no other faith has anything even close to what the Holy Spirit is to us. And there may be some faiths that purport to have something such as that, but because the Holy Spirit is part of the triune nature of God, there is no way that any other faith can have anything even remotely similar to the Holy Spirit of God. And so Jesus tries to explain this to his disciples. If you have been a believer for many years, and some of this may be old hat to you, some of this may not impress you too much, but if you're a new believer, or maybe you have a lot of questions, more questions about the Christian faith than you do answers, and really don't know how it all puts pieces together, why Jesus tried to explain this to his disciples, because they too were in a quandary, you might say. They too were wondering, how is this going to work, Jesus? You keep telling us that you're going to leave here. And of course they were bewildered and they were frustrated, because they had walked with Jesus. They looked to him to be their Messiah, their king, and they looked to him to be their leader physically here on this earth. And so I'm sure they were very disappointed, as all of us would be, if someone of Jesus' stature and his impact and his nature had walked among us and been a friend and a companion. And so they asked Jesus, how can this be so? When in verse 11 of John chapter 14, he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and Father in me. Otherwise believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." And at that point they were probably saying, this can't be. How can somebody do greater works than Jesus Christ? We've seen him raise the dead. We've seen him heal the sick. We've seen him turn water into wine. We've seen him cleanse the lepers. I mean, how could it be that anyone could do greater works than these? And of course Jesus was trying to prepare them for their earthly ministry, because he knew that shortly he would be going to the cross, and he knew that he would have to prepare them for the persecution, but also to actually minister, to go out there among the hurting and the sick and the dying and the lepers, and lay hands on them and pray for them and touch them with the power of God, so that they would know that the finger of heaven, so that they would know that the finger of God had been upon them and been in their midst. And so he says, these things that I do, even greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then in verse 16, Jesus starts talking about the Holy Spirit and how it's going to relate to the disciples. And so if you're a baby Christian out there, or maybe just an unbeliever, understand that these comments are specifically for you, that you can know the Holy Spirit, that you can possess the Holy Spirit, or maybe it'd be better to say that he possesses you, however you want to say it. But you must accept Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not come to those who do not invite him in. The Holy Spirit does not come to those who do not ask for him. And so it is one of the great mysteries that God is in three persons: God the Father, Jehovah God, God the Son, Yeshua, his Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, the Paracletus, the Advocate, who is God incarnate, you might say, in us, as the third person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit sets up shop in us, and he is our advocate and our counselor. And so in verse 16, Jesus starts to explain just who this Holy Spirit is. And in verse 16, chapter 14, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." And so we learn from this, number one, that the Holy Spirit is with us forever. That when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Acts 2:38, Peter said to the Jews there who accepted Jesus, he said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will accept and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so the reception and the gift of the Holy Spirit comes when we repent of our sins, when we turn away from our wicked nature, when we turn away from our earthly desires and our earthly sins, and we repent of those, and we say, "Jesus, send your Holy Spirit. Jesus, come into my life." And so Jesus does not come to walk beside us. Jesus does not come to be within us, although to a certain degree, symbolically, we are seated with Jesus in the heavenlies, and also we are clothed with Jesus in baptism, and we are renewed with Jesus. And so, in a sense, because God is in three persons, we have Jesus. We also have Jehovah God. Jesus says, "If anyone has me, they have the Father also. If anyone knows me, they know the Father also." But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that actually resides within us and is our counselor and our helper. Once again, verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." And so, as you proceed in life, the Holy Spirit is with you as you proceed in the circumstances of life, whether they be easy circumstances or difficult circumstances or downright martyrdom or trials of extreme nature. God will be with you in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you forever. And so your eternal nature is dwelt in by the Holy Spirit. Your eternal nature, your eternal being is ushered into the heavenly throne room by the Holy Spirit. And so you will never be without the Spirit of God once you accept him as your Lord and Savior. And somebody should say hallelujah for that, because we can know, and that is why Paul said that to live is Christ, to die is gain. We can know that the moment we close our eyes here on this earth in death, that we are alive and transported by the Holy Spirit to the heavenly throne room to be with God for all eternity. And so the Holy Spirit is a down payment, Paul tells us in Ephesians 1. It's merely a down payment on our inheritance, which is yet to come. And so the down payment is given to us when we accept Jesus. The full payment comes when we close our eyes here on this earth and are transported to heaven, where we spend our eternal destiny, where we spend our eternal abode, or live in our eternal abode for all eternity with Jesus Christ and Jehovah God, our Father. Okay, verse 17 in chapter 14, John says, "And that is the Spirit of truth." Now he goes on to explain who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me, because I live, you shall also live. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And so, going back to verse 17, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. And so know this, that as you are in the world, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not come to Jesus and been broken before him and repented and turned from your wicked ways, you do not have the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the Holy Spirit. You may be a churchgoer. You may be a good person. You may be an honest, upright, righteous person. And yet, if you do not accept Jesus, if you have not repented of your sins and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior to be the Lord over your life and the Savior of your soul, if you have not done that and have not accepted him, then the Holy Spirit does not reside within you. And I would urge you, brothers and sisters, if you're in that mode today, if you're in that circumstance today, that you just take a moment and get on your knees and ask Jesus to come into your life and ask Jesus to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you pray to repent of your sins, that you repent and ask God to take away your sins, to send Jesus to take away your sins. And when you do that, then God will bless you and give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth leads you to the truth in all things. That is to say, the truth in things in the wisdom of God. It will not deceive you. The Holy Spirit will not deceive you. He will never trick you. He does not try to steal from you. Jesus said in John 10:10 that I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. And so we know that the will of God is for you to have abundance. It is for you to have life. It is for you to be blessed. It is that for your joy to be made full. It is for you to be delivered of bondage and addictions. And Jesus in that same sentence says, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we know Satan's purpose. We know his will for your life. And Satan is a spirit of rebellion. Satan is a spirit of bondage and destruction and addiction. And he wants to take from you what God has given you. He wants to steal from you all the blessings that God has given for you and the destiny that God has for you. Satan wants to steal that from you and all the gifts that God has given you. Satan wants to steal those. But we can rely on the Spirit of God because it is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And so we can be thankful for that in knowing that God abides in us through the Holy Spirit, and we don't have to rely on CNN, we don't have to rely on Fox News, we don't have to rely on anything other than the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom that we need to navigate through sometimes shark-infested waters, sometimes deadly traps that Satan has set for us. And so if we jump over here to verse 25, Jesus continues to elaborate on who the Holy Spirit is. He says, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And so Jesus is telling the disciples that they will remember the things that he has told them through the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And so even today, this day, many times God will bring to us a recollection of something that he has said to us, maybe a dream that he has given us, or a vision that he's given us, or maybe a word spoken over us by somebody, or a scripture that you read at some time, and that scripture just hit you in a powerful way, and it had an impact on your life to change your life. And it's maybe something you grabbed a hold of when you were facing intense trials and intense tribulation, and the Holy Spirit was there to comfort you and to counsel you and to lead you into the truth in all things. And Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Besides being with us for eternity, he is a teacher. Besides giving us the truth in all matters, he is a teacher. In other words, ask the Holy Spirit when you have confusion, when you have difficulty, when you have doubt, when you have unbelief. Maybe you just don't know which way to proceed. Maybe you're contemplating marriage, or you're contemplating a job change, or you're contemplating something in your business, and you don't know which way to go. You know, from your earthly eyes, it doesn't look like you should go this way. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him to give you counsel, and he will show you, either by bringing people into your life that can give you counsel, godly counsel, or he will give it to you in a dream or a vision, or he will just instruct you in your daily Bible reading. But God will teach you all things through the Holy Spirit, and he will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And of course, we know that the Bible was written over a series of many years, and even in the Old Testament times, some of the prophets and some of the men of God were given revelation, and they were given words of God by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, because the words were written many times years and years after the actual events. And so we know that God instructs in all things, that God gives us the instruction and the teaching that we need for whatever situation we're in. And to go with the Holy Spirit means to go armed and ready to do battle, and also armed and ready to know that you are walking in the Spirit and the counsel of the Lord God Almighty. We're going to jump down to John verse 26 in chapter 15. Verse 26, when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me, and you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning, he was telling the disciples. And so the Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus Christ, and we know when somebody is on the witness stand, they're speaking either in the affirmative or the negative regards to a certain person or a certain situation. And Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will bear witness of me. In other words, the things that you hear from the Holy Spirit will bear witness of Jesus Christ. The things that you hear from the Holy Spirit, you will know that they are given by God. And so we know that we have a connection to God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son through the Holy Spirit. We know that we have a verifiable connection. We know that that connection brings us the truth, that we will bear witness to Jesus Christ. And so the things that we are counseled by the Holy Spirit, and the way that we are counseled by the Holy Spirit, will point back to Jesus Christ. They will point back to Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, when they deliver you up to persecute you in front of the synagogues and in front of the masses, when they deliver you up to persecute you, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about, you know, if you're making the right arguments or you have all the words in place, because the Holy Spirit will bear witness of me, Jesus says. It will bear witness that I am who I say I am. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you need not fear about the words that you speak. You need not fear if you're putting it all in just the right order and the right logic, because, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts in a way that we don't have to do everything. We just have to lay it out there, and the Holy Spirit will give us the words at the correct time. The Holy Spirit will give us the words that will have the most impact, and words that we can remember because of the power of the Holy Spirit, that they will be brought to us because of the remembrance of the Holy Spirit. And so that is a comforting thing to know, that, you know, you will always be able to testify and bear witness to Jesus Christ because of that Spirit that resides within you. Well, in 16th chapter of John, Jesus goes ahead and elaborates some more on the Holy Spirit, and he says here, but I tell you the truth, it is to your, in verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And so Jesus is saying, it is to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. And to understand that, we have to understand that Jesus' ministry was never intended to be a worldwide ministry. Jesus' ministry was a local ministry there in Israel primarily. But when the Holy Spirit came, it caused an explosion that transformed the whole world. It caused an explosion that went to the far corners of the world, and still to this very day, the explosion is going on in every corner of the world. The explosion is going on in Africa and in Asia and in America and South America and all over the globe. And because the Holy Spirit is not confined to any one place, you can go anywhere in the world, anywhere on this earth, and the Holy Spirit will be there, either with you or with someone else, or in a church or outside of a church, wherever two or three are gathered. And so it is comforting to know that the Holy Spirit is not confined to any locale, and it is truly a worldwide evangelism explosion when the Holy Spirit is poured out on all mankind. And back to verse 7 in John 16, when the Helper comes, I will send him to you, and he, when he comes, will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And in verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you what is to come. And so we can learn from that the Holy Spirit will even instruct us and speak about that which is to come. And so he's not confined to speak about that which has already happened or that which is in the present tense time of happening, but he can also instruct us on that which is to come, which is really a benefit because of that we can pray about situations ahead and pray about, you know, God's wisdom and God's counsel and how to deal with situations that haven't unfolded yet, but because the Holy Spirit knows about that which is to come, knows the truth of that which is to come, we can know for certain that we're making the right decision, that we can avoid the pitfalls and the snares of Satan by walking in the truth and receiving counsel from the Holy Spirit about situations that are still to come. Well, we're going to continue next week learning about the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue to study this, and then we're going to go into the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 and other places in the Bible. But just understand, brothers and sisters, that God wants you to have His Holy Spirit. God wants to bless you with the Spirit of truth. God wants to bless you with Himself, and so that you will do even greater works than His Son, Jesus Christ, did. And I know that's kind of a hard concept to grasp. It's an immense concept to even think about, that we can walk with the same power and authority that Jesus Christ had. And yet God wants us to walk in authority. He wants us to tread on serpents and cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead. That's His desire for us. And if you are struggling in your life, defeating demons, if you're struggling in your life, defeating addictions, or just maybe you have depression or despair or disappointment, discouragement, maybe you just feel like life is not worth living, that it's stacked up against you, understand that God's will for you is to give you a part of Himself, and part of His nature, the Holy Spirit of God, the Paracletus, the Counselor, the Advocate, for you to walk with each and every day. And when you have that Holy Spirit, you will walk in victory, you will walk in triumph, and you will not be defeated. Because Jesus was not defeated, God is not defeated, the Holy Spirit within you will not allow you to be defeated. And so we just thank you, Jesus, for this plan. We thank you, Jehovah God, for this plan that allows us to walk in triumph and walk in victory. Well, if you've made a decision today to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, understand that you now have the Holy Spirit. Confess your sins, repent, turn away from your wicked ways. Understand that the inheritance, the down payment for the inheritance that you have been given, is that Holy Spirit of God, and He will walk with you. And we just thank you for that. Let me know if you've made a decision today. Write me, Box 92, Norton, Kansas. Let me know, and so we can rejoice with you in that great victory that you have made today. Well, that's it for today, brothers and sisters. Come back and be with us next week. We're going to talk some more about the Holy Spirit next week. Thanks for listening. God bless you. See you next week.